Before you tune into today's episode, all of us here want to say thank you for tuning into Bring Up Creativity. Today's episode marks the 1 year since Bring Up Creativity started. We're so happy to have met such inspiring creative leaders and cannot wait to continue into our second year with more to come and amazing guests for you all to listen to. Don't forget to grab your coffee and enjoy the episode. Creativity is experimenting, growing, taking risks, breaking rules, making mistakes, and having fun. Mary Lou Cook. On today's episode of Bring Up Creativity, we are joined with Rebecca. Rebecca is a teaching artist from Montana, currently living in Los Angeles. Her work is inspired by the intersection between ecological concern and the female experience, especially that of motherhood and trauma, often using unconventional materials that connect to childhood and women's work. She is represented by Stay Home Gallery for 2021, and she's also a member of Spilt Milk Gallery and is listed in the curated directories All She Makes and Visionary Art Collective. Her practice consists of three spheres: art making, teaching, and community building. She has worked in art education for 15 years and founded and hosts Teaching Artists podcast, highlighting artists who teach. She coordinates the Art Educators Lounge, a community support group for art educators in collaboration with Victoria J. Fry. She also runs Play and Inspire Gallery in partnership with Maria Coit. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Danielle. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining me this early in the AM. I'm so excited to discuss your career of choice and what you do and the fact that you run your own podcast. It's so exciting. So thank you so much for joining me.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I want to start off with a cute little question, and I do this with all of my guests, and I want to ask you what your go-to coffee or tea order is.
Ooh, I feel like I don't have an order because I usually make my own, but...
Good for you. I should do that too.
Yeah. Make my coffee every morning with a little bit of sugar and a lot of milk.
Oh, yeah. You got to add that sweetener in. Like, honestly, like the, I find the milk just makes it a bit more creamy. I commend people who can drink their coffee black because it's not me. I can't do it.
I can't do it either.
You got to mellow it out just a little bit, especially first thing in the morning. So yeah, I definitely agree with you and I commend you for making your coffee every morning. I try to, but there are just some mornings where I run out to like a Starbucks or something and I indulge and that's one of my flaws.
I totally get that though.
Thank you. Thank you for understanding. I wanted to hop into what you do. And I would love to hear more about how you got into teaching art while maintaining your own studio. I know you're a busy mama as well. So I'm just wondering like how you handle it all, but how you even got started into everything.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I've always been an artist and I grew up in a family full of teachers and I really kind of rebelled. Like I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't plan to be a teacher. I studied art in undergrad and college and thought I was going to, you know, sort of like magically be an artist, but also kind of came to the realization towards the end of college that that wasn't going to be an easy path in terms of supporting myself. I was very idealistic, so I ended up doing a year of AmeriCorps community organizing, and then that led me to not teaching, but working for a school. So I was sort of managing programs for a brand new school during the small schools movement in New York City.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was really interesting. It was not at all art related, but I guess very teaching related.
It is. And I admire teachers. A part of me always thought that I wanted to be a teacher. So maybe that's why I find it fun, but please continue.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's kind of a winding path. I did that for a few years and was living in New York and still making my own art and trying to show it and working like my full-time job while making art was challenging. But I was in my early 20s and trying to just continue being an artist in some way while also being still this like very idealistic, want to go sort of save the world. And now looking back, I know there was a lot of like white saviorism in there, which is a whole other thing.
It's a journey.
Yeah. I ended up deciding I was going to go back to school for art. So I applied to a bunch of schools to get my MFA and ended up going to WashU in St. Louis, which is actually where my mom grew up. So it was almost like this full circle thing coming back to where she was from.
Right. It's a sign.
So I got my MFA and again, like thought, okay, once I have this, I'll just be an art professor. And realized again that that was not going to be easy. It was really hard to get those jobs mm-hmm. unless I was willing to live in a much smaller town. And at that time I was dating my husband who works in film and TV. So for him, New York or LA are really like the only cities.
The go-to spots for sure.
Yeah. Which is also like very competitive cities for artists.
Yeah. I can imagine.
So I had that sort of education-related experience, that community organizing experience, and then now an art degree. So ended up in art education on the admin side, working for nonprofits. And while doing that, I was basically managing art education programs and ended up teaching as well a little bit. So I would be, you know, managing programs, and then I would take over the teaching of one or two of them. So it was mostly admin, but teaching a little bit, kind of got my feet wet with teaching and I really enjoyed it. And then becoming a mom made me love it even more. So I, after spending a couple of years, I was lucky to have a few years home with my daughter. When I was ready to come back to work, I looked for teaching jobs and have been teaching for now, I guess, 4.5, 5 years, full-time teaching. So. That's sort of the path.
I feel like, yeah, like, you know, the path is like just always a journey. Mm-hmm. And I love coming on here and just talking with so many different people from different walks of life, going down different creative paths, because the one thing I found in common with every single one of my guests and even with myself is just that it's never just I was born and I knew that I wanted to be an art teacher and, mm-hmm. you know, run my own studio or anything like that. Like, it's just like you navigate through so many different facets and different types of mediums, choices. You taught a little bit, but then you also were doing admin, and it's just like, it's all over the place and it's a process of elimination. And that's how I like to describe it to people. Like, you know, I considered at one point that I was going to be a professor as well. And I'm like, it's fine. I'll just do 8 years of school and hope for the best. And maybe I will get a job and, you know, at this university nearby my hometown, but who the heck knows? And those were the similar thoughts. Like when you were saying like, am I really going to get a job? Like, can I guarantee mm-hmm. putting in 8 years of school, if not more sometimes, to become a professor and to put in all this time and research into something, not knowing if I'm going to actually be able to succeed with it down the line. And it's like a bit of fear, but at the same time, like I crave balance. And I know that some creatives are very adventurous and they can just pick up and go and change their lifestyle like in a whim. But for me, I crave balance. So I totally get where you were coming from, but just the fact that you were literally doing a process of elimination in your early 20s. It's just the typical, the typical creative story. And I love it because it allows us all to embrace the fact that it's never going to be easy. And then once you kind of feel mm-hmm. happy with where you're at, it kind of feels like a full circle. And of course you're always growing and you're always learning, but as soon as you finally find that niche and when you discovered you love teaching, that allows us to kind of feel content with where we are. And we can just keep pushing forward and discover that. I guess, like, I don't know how long you've been doing your podcast for, but is this like something recent that you've started doing as well?
Relatively recent. I had the idea in, I guess it was 2019, and then put it out there publicly as a way to kind of force myself to actually do it. And
I feel that.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I want to do this. I better tell somebody else or I'm not going to like actually follow through. So I ended up starting it in January 2020 was when I did the first interview, which I did one in person in January, one in person in February. Then the world shut down and I actually launched, I think the first episode aired like the week that, you know, the pandemic sort of hit us here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Wild.
I love the goal behind it though. Mm-hmm. I find it very similar to like Bring On Creativity in terms of just like spreading awareness. And I know you have like a huge focus on like art teachers and like the teaching mm-hmm. industry along with the creative side of it all. But I love how it's spreading awareness into that industry because I feel like a lot of times when people think of teachers, at least, I mean, I think of an art teacher immediately, but that's just because I'm creative. But a lot of times people don't just associate teachers with like art. Like they just assume like elementary science, math, and that's about it. But like art teachers are so crucial for, I think, childhood development because it allows children to express themselves and learn a different side of their brain. Because I think growing up, like we're always promoted to like build with blocks or tools or learn, watch Sesame Street. And for me, it was like, I want to, you know, draw and dress up and dance around like a fairy. And like, luckily my parents were so great at promoting that. But when you go to school, they didn't really promote that. So like, I love how your podcast focuses on that. And I listened to a couple of episodes myself, and it was, it's so interesting to hear from art teachers and just like, you know, your perspective and their perspective, because I feel like, I don't know. I am such an advocate for children and adults just to learn more about their creative selves and their just the, yeah, like their inner child selves. That's how I like to describe my creativity, at least. Like, it reminds me of being a child again. And like, I can't see that ever going away. So I wanted to commend you for the podcast, and I love having other podcasters on. So like, just wanted to bring that to the front before we hop into more, but yeah, good on, I love your podcast. Wanted to say that.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's definitely a labor of love. And yeah, I really wanted to highlight artists who teach. So kind of talking about juggling both things, trying to really be like a professional artist or just keep up with, even if you're not selling or sharing your work, just like keeping up with having a studio practice while you're also teaching is really challenging. So sort of shining a light on those people that are doing that.
Hey creatives, are you looking to start a podcast? Buzzsprout made it so easy for Brewing Up Creativity to launch our creative podcast series. It gets your show listed in every major podcast platform with just a click of a button. All you have to do is record and have fun. Following the link in this episode's show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, gets you a $20 Amazon gift card if you sign up for a paid plan, and helps support our show. Happy podcasting. Yeah, it's so difficult. And funny enough that you're saying that, like, that was literally my next question for you, is just like how you even find time to just pursue both worlds. Because in my eyes, being a teacher is full time, and then on the other side, being an artist is full time too. I just wanted to ask, like, how you balance it all and how you make time for it. I'm so curious to know, like, how you break down your day in order to get all the stuff done that you want to get done. Or
I mean, I feel like it's, you know, shifted dramatically during this pandemic. That, you know, I was teaching from home, and I'm a teaching artist. So that means I work for a nonprofit that sends artists into schools. I'm not like directly working for the school. And because of that, I wasn't doing Zoom classes with my students. I was instead making sort of pre-recorded videos for them. And at one point I didn't.
It's really neat though.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was, you know, very, very different way of teaching.
Yeah.
But I, at one point, didn't have, like, I wasn't really even communicating with students. I was making these videos and like sending them into the void, which was just a very, very strange way to be trying to teach.
For sure.
But that meant that my teaching time was super flexible. And basically all of the things I was doing were pretty flexible in terms of time. So I would schedule myself around when my husband had work. So if he was starting work at 10 a.m., I would get up at 6 or 7 and record some of my videos or record a podcast interview. Like, all of that would be done before he had to start work so that he could be with our daughter. And then when we kind of traded places, like, he would go in and work and kind of shut himself in the office, which for us is shared. Like, we share a space that's my studio, it's his office, it's my classroom office, everything. It's all there in one spot.
It's the same for me.
Small city life.
It's the same for me. We share, and it's sometimes like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but sometimes I like step on his toes, and like I'm like, who gets the office or the studio today? And we're like trying to figure that out. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah, that is a really good tactic, to be honest with you. And yeah, you have to keep in mind your children too, like who can spend time with your child while who's working and who's not working. And that's another thing to play into mind. And for me, like I'm obsessed with lists. Mm-hmm. I just like write out my list, and I actually have the time next to them when I can take my lunch break. And like, I don't know if that's like the OCD in me or what it is, but I don't know if like you ever struggle with that too, where you just have to like, I don't know, write things down and make sure you get it done. Or if you're able to like, just plan your day out in your mind. Like, I just wonder that with like full-time entrepreneurs like yourself and teachers, and you're like mixing it all together, that like, I would wonder like, how do you create your own schedule at the same time? And it's just, I admire you for it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I definitely use a lot of tools. I used to have these like moleskin notebooks of just everything in there, my schedule, my notes, my lists. And I've shifted, I guess, since becoming a mom, when, you know, I'm always running around, and the one thing I have with me, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, is my phone. So I use Google Keep and Google Calendar religiously. Like, those are my go-to. And I put into Calendar anything I need to do. So sometimes it's like a meeting, or, you know, actual, like, I'm going to be talking to this person at this time. But sometimes it's, okay, I have this time to record my lessons. I have this time to work in the studio. Like, I'll put it in there so that it dings and reminds me that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Love technology.
Yeah, so helpful. And then definitely lists. I use, I love Google Keep, because it lets you make like checklists that you can check off. You can share them with other people. So I have lists that I share with my husband for groceries.
You gotta do that.
Yeah. Like, lists I'll share with, like, I'm running an online gallery that's kind of in hibernation right now, but I'm running that with another artist. So I share things with her, and we kind of check through things. And then it also lets you take notes, or like, put pictures in there. You can even do little drawings in there. So that, I love that tool. And it like syncs between your computer and phone, which is great.
I love how much you're supporting it, and we're not even sponsoring it. That's amazing.
I know. I know. I talk about it on my show, on Teaching Artist Podcast too. And I'm like, I swear they're not paying me.
No, I love it. 'Cause I'm like, wow, she really loves the tool, and we're not even sponsoring.
You should reach out to them.
Really consider it. Like, you're using it as much as you're saying you are. Like, you should consider it. That's so funny. You know what? Funny enough, I haven't even tried that. I'm like so old fashioned, and I stick to my list. But the thing is, it's important for you, because you might be collaborating with other artists. And like, if you have things that you both need to do, like, that's when technology is amazing, because you can just share a board, or like you said, like a little to-do list, and you can see what you've done and what, you know, the artist is doing. And you can share it with your husband for the groceries, which we all know is like crucial. So
or like birthday list.
Right. Oh my God. It's, that's funny. That's actually, that is so funny, because it's so true. And it makes me realize that I probably should rely a little bit more on technology to help me with my to-do list. But those are some great tools, to be honest with you. And I love Google Calendar. It's a lifesaver, especially when it does that little 10-minute reminder for you. If you have like, you need to record a lesson, or we need to record a podcast. So that's, those are some great tools. And for me, like, I'm not a mother yet, but I commend, like, I always think to myself, like, when that does happen, how am I still going to rely heavily on my list and my notes, or am I going to be a little bit more lenient on myself? So it's something that I always wonder if that's going to change me, or if you found like a transformation, the way you view things since becoming a mother, even towards your career or anything like that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it changes everything. You know, your body goes through this massive transformation, and then, you know, this sounds really cheesy, but as soon as I said your body does that, I was like, and your soul does too. You just everything shifts when you become a parent. And I feel like I also had to shift my way of working. Like, my being shifted, but I actually kind of lost myself for the first couple years. And I was really like mother with a big capital M, and was nothing else. And you know, got really depressed for a while, and was just like not making art and not feeling good about life in general. So coming back to making art was huge for me. And I actually did that with my daughter. It was like, in some ways, she helped. Having her like derailed me a bit, but then it also brought me back. And now I still, like some of my studio practice is very focused and I can't really do with her around, but I try to do whatever I can with her. So if it's like sort of watercolor sketches where she's also doing that with me, or like I sometimes bring panels that I need to sand, I'll bring it to the park and she can play while I like sit there and sand panels.
I love that.
Yeah.
And thank you for being transparent. I mean, postpartum, I don't know why I think ahead of time so much, but you know, I've watched it affect a lot of the women in my life and they always say the same thing, like, being a mother defined me mm-hmm. for the first year or two. And sometimes it even extends into 3 or 4 years, but, everyone describes that. And it, like, the mothers that I know, like they always describe that feeling. And now finally I get to see like, you know, it, for instance, my sister, she's finally working again and she's, you know, going, involving herself in hobbies that, you know, takes her out of just being a mother. But it's really nice to hear that it was almost like your daughter helped you get back and realize that you need to be creative because it's something that you love mm-hmm. and she will do it with you and you'll teach her watercolor or you'll play in the sand. And I love that. Like, that's so sweet because even if someone's a mother or not, like whoever's listening, like I've fallen off of it too. Like there have been a few years where I didn't do anything creative at all. And I look back mm-hmm. and yeah, it was probably one of like the darker times in my life as well. And it's funny how mm-hmm. we all, when we feel a little depressed, like we kind of just fall off of some of the things that we love and we don't mm-hmm. mean to do it intentionally. It's just kind of like we absentmindedly realize we're not putting ourselves first anymore. So thank you so much for being transparent about that because whether you're a mother or not. I mean, like postpartum is like a whole different ball game. Like, I mean, like that's so difficult to deal with. But in general, I feel like when you fall off for a little bit and then you come back, it's almost like an epiphany. Like, why mm-hmm. wasn't I doing this? Or what made me fall off? And why did this happen? And it allows you to just think mm-hmm. and reflect for a little bit. So thank you so much for bringing that to awareness because I didn't even think we were going to touch on that. And I love that we are.
Yes. Yes. No, I feel like it's important to talk about the hard things too. And I feel like I always try to bring that stuff up or kind of like push people to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like it's so helpful to share, like your vulnerability helps other people so much.
I agree. And it's something that, you know, I love to discuss too, because a lot of times, like when we do pursue something creative, you know, there are downfalls to things and it's not mm-hmm. always roses and daisies. And I think when I tell people what I do, they think, oh, how fun and exciting. I'm like, it is. Mm-hmm. I love what I do. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like a job, but you know, there are days where burnout happens or I'm not feeling that great and I'm just not feeling creative. And some people will look at me like, what do you mean? Like, how do you, like, what does that even mean? But it's just something that's, you know, I guess only creatives can really understand, or when you're working in a creative field, that not every day is going to feel like you're going to produce the best artwork, or maybe your teaching style is slightly different that day. And I love that we can talk about these things. So thank you for that. Yeah. And I know that a lot of what you do overlaps into each other. So like mm-hmm. at least with teaching, and then you're also an artist in itself. So how do you find elements you've pursued have overlapped into each other? Like specifically, like, did it feel like it fell mm-hmm. into place at a certain point, or has it kind of been like a step-by-step process?
Teaching inspires me a lot. I love working with young students. I, for a long time, preferred high school, but I feel like becoming a mother made me like working with the younger students even more. And mm-hmm. I've been at the elementary level for the last 4 years or so. And I love just the freedom and the creativity that they have. And I, right before, like the year before the pandemic, I had shifted more towards, I wasn't fully in this method of teaching called Teaching for Artistic Behavior, which is really a choice-based method of teaching. So you're thinking, basically you're focusing your whole curriculum and your whole teaching style around these three sort of pillars, which are: the classroom is our studio, the student is the artist, and what do artists do? So you're trying to tease out with the students, like, what would you do as an artist? rather than giving them sort of cookie cutter like lessons. Okay, everybody's going to paint a sunflower or whatever.
I love that. That is such a good tactic.
Yeah. And I loved that. It was so freeing for the students and also for me. And I feel like it also magically freed up some of my time because I wasn't spending hours prepping like 500 of the same material for everybody to do the same lesson. I was instead just organizing my room so everybody knew where supplies were and could get whichever supplies they needed for their specific project. And then during class, I was spending time kind of wandering around, talking to each student and checking in with them about what they were making and, you know, setting up mini lessons to share specific techniques or to talk about a certain artist. But it just freed up a lot of time and also was just so much more inspiring to really get to know who the students were and what their original ideas were. So I feel like that inspired my own artwork.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that.
It also, because it freed up time, like gave me more time for my own artwork. So just total win-win-win all around.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And the teaching method is actually incredible. You know, I was doing art school as a kid, but I never had anything like that where it was kind of like I got to explore what I wanted to explore. And then I kind of almost received like a little mini lesson for just myself and it felt tailored to me. And I was able to just creatively express myself. A lot of times I just enrolled in specific courses like illustration, pottery, acrylics. And I didn't have that. And that actually sounds amazing. Like I had biggest smile over here because I feel like what a great way to creatively explore as children. And I wish almost I lived near you so I could send my children to you to teach them art. But like that is incredible. I love that. And like through teaching children art, what are some of the best practices that have helped children reveal their creative side while learning?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, again, just shifting more towards TAB, so teaching for artistic behavior. And there's lots of teachers that work this way. So you can even like, you know, seek them out or suggest this method to teachers that you know once you have kids, like kind of push them towards this.
Go do this.
But yeah, exactly. Or just like show that, I don't know, point them towards there's a website for teaching for artistic behavior. There's so many resources, and I found that community is really, really helpful. So being able to talk with veteran teachers who've been doing it for much longer than I have is always so helpful. What I found worked really well was I had a very short time with each group of students. So my schedule when teaching was structured as basically 10 weeks with each grade, and I was shifting throughout the year to different grade levels. So I really had only 10 lessons, which is so short. So I structured it as basically like half that time was our what I called boot camp. So we spent time kind of quickly, very, very quickly going through each of the material options that I had available in the room. So we had like drawing, painting, printmaking, sculpture, and some fiber work. So we kind of spent a day on each one of those. And I think I just listed more than five. So there was at least one day that was doubled up. Mm-hmm. It felt very fast, but I loved being able to do this sort of introduction of material. And each material I would introduce through a contemporary artist. So I would bring in an artist and show them their work. And we'd talk about it a little bit. And then I'd like demo a few techniques and I would offer a project. So offer, you know, here's this artist who made houses out of cardboard. If you want to make a house out of cardboard, like here's some techniques of how you might do it, but, you know, make it your own. Or if you feel like you want to use cardboard and my other sculpture materials to make something different, like that's okay too. Today we're just kind of exploring this material. So explore the material however you want to explore the material sort of thing.
How fulfilling. I feel like that's so inspiring.
Yeah, I loved seeing what they would come up with and seeing which artists were most inspiring. Like sometimes most of the class would be all about doing whatever the specific project that I had demoed from an artist. And sometimes it would be very few. And I was like, okay, that artist didn't hit so well. Like, interesting.
That's so funny.
Yeah. like the other important piece of that first sort of 5 weeks was that we spent time talking about the ideation and like creation process. So I would ask a question, like, I think the first question was, where do ideas come from? Like, where do artists get ideas? Really big, big questions, but just kind of putting these little pebbles in their brain of like, okay, so if I have to come up with an idea, like, where could I find an idea? And then the next thing is like, okay, what do we do with ideas? Okay, like, how do we problem solve? Like, you know, just kind of going through what is the creative process and how do we handle going through the entire process?
How neat.
And I would tell them, like, you are going to be, I'm going to set you loose. And like, you're going to be able to go through this whole process.
That sounds like so much fun. Like, I'm not even a kid and mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that too. Like, it sounds like
yeah,
so much
I love
fun.
That.
Your career just sounds so inspiring and fulfilling. And, you know, I did always want to consider teaching. And, you know, at some point I do hope to get into that, but I was mm-hmm. always thinking about like the college level. But yeah. I, you know, I love children and I'm like such an advocate for seeing children prosper through creativity and expressing themselves because I was very quiet and I didn't talk mm-hmm. much. So I found yeah. the best way for myself to communicate was through art. And so it makes me so happy to hear that you allow for so much room for expression and discovery in the classroom. It's so beautiful to hear. And I mm-hmm. wish you like so many more years of success in this field and for yourself just as an artist.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. I wanted to ask if there's any projects or anything that listeners should look out for.
Ooh, I have a couple of shows coming up. I've been continuing to make my own art, usually in the like evening, late night hours.
I love that.
So I have a show coming up this fall at Stay Home Gallery, which I've been represented by for this year. They have a really amazing representation program that's more like a mentoring program.
Beautiful.
So we have our big represented artist show coming up in the fall at Stay Home Gallery. And then I guess the other thing is to just check out Teaching Artists Podcast.
Yes. Everybody go check out that podcast. And where can everybody find you online as well?
Oh, yeah. So people can connect with me. I have a website, RebeccaPotts.com. My Instagram is at Potts Art, POTTS, and then art. And then Teaching Artist Podcast is just the same thing on Instagram at Teaching Artist Podcast and teachingartistpodcast.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, yeah. Rebecca. This was such a great chat. And I loved talking about this because I don't actually talk about my interest in, you know, children being able to express themselves through art. And it's something that I'm very like passionate about. And I'm like such a huge advocate for it. So it was really great to be able to talk to you about this topic.
Yes. Thank you so much, Danielle. It was wonderful to talk about it too.
Thank you for listening into this week's episode of Brewing Up Creativity. Have you been loving our recent episodes? It would mean a lot if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. If you're also wondering how you can join us on the podcast, reach out to us at info@brewingupcreativity.com or fill out an inquiry form, which can be found on Instagram @brewingupcreativity, where the link is in our bio.